Such a pleasure to be here today and to see you this morning. And we're glad to have everyone out here today to think about God, Jesus Christ, His Son, and to talk about His Word a little bit this morning. And we would like to start off this morning in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. We have been working our way through this great Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached, starting in Matthew chapter 5 and going through Matthew chapter 7. And we're getting toward the end of that lesson. And at the end of this lesson, Jesus really brings things home. He wants us to seriously consider the words that He has said. And so He gets serious with us in this lesson. And in the last part of this lesson, one of these sections, He talks about the straight and narrow way. Enter by the narrow gate, He says. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And you may notice the guy in the picture here and know who he is, much younger version of me. We had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon many years ago. I can't remember what year it was, though. I want to say it's 2010. I could be wrong about that. But when we went, Austin and Charlie and I, Gavin and Eddie, were too small at that time to do this. But we hiked down into the Grand Canyon, and then we hiked back up. And it was quite the ordeal. But I was able to get a few pictures along the way, and they serve very well to illustrate this lesson. When we think about the words that Jesus says here, there is a straight and narrow gate. You can see this tunnel right here. This is on the north side of the Grand Canyon. And this tunnel was a straight and narrow gate. You could not get any vehicles through this tunnel. You would have to walk and take the straight and narrow way. And that's the way the Grand Canyon is. There's a path. And if you don't stay on this path, then one way or the other, you're going to be in some trouble. And that's what Jesus is talking about. The word straight here doesn't mean straight like an arrow. It means straight as in narrow. S-T-R-A-I-T, not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. Two different words. And so it means narrow, like a straight, a narrow place that you pass through. And sometimes we use that word in nautical terms to talk about ships who are passing through a strait, like the Strait of Gibraltar there in the Mediterranean that separates the Mediterranean Ocean from the Atlantic Ocean. And you have to pass through that narrow place in order to get from one ocean to the other. And Jesus is talking about these things in terms of making it understandable to us. You know, in Luke 13 and verse 23, Jesus was asked the question, Lord, are there few that will be saved? And He answered, strive to enter in at the straight gate. I say unto you, many will seek to enter in and will not be able. And so, how many will be saved? Jesus' answer is, many will not be saved because they did not enter the straight and narrow gate. And so, this morning, we're going to talk about what that is and how we can enter that straight and narrow gate. And when we think about the straight and narrow way, the first thing we're going to see is that the straight and narrow way is the way or the trail that Jesus Himself walked on, that He blazed, so to speak. Second, it's the trail that once begun must be followed. Third, it is the trail that does not change, the way that does not change. And fourth, it is the trail or the way that brings reward. So let's talk about this straight and narrow way this morning. First of all, this straight and narrow way is the trail that Jesus blazed. And you can see that trail there on the side of the Grand Canyon as you're going along it. We'll talk more about that here in a moment. Now, when we look at this trail, you can see that, let's see what the picture is here. This trail was blazed at a point in the past, and there was someone who marked out and created this trail. It was a man by the name of Dave Rust in the early 1900s who kind of discovered the trail, a part of the trail that was already there. This is called the North Kaibab Trail of the Grand Canyon. You can kind of see it there a little bit. I'll have some other pictures to show it a little more. And it was discovered by him. The Indians had used it before that time, and he kind of improved it. And then the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps of the 1930s, they came along and really made it and improved it very well. And so this trail that exists here is one that was discovered, it was improved upon, and it is the one trail from the north side of the Grand Canyon to go down into the canyon itself. Well, the trail of salvation was blazed by Jesus himself. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, Jesus is called the captain of our salvation. The captain, or maybe the trailblazer. Sometimes that word can be translated like that, or prince. He's the one who went before us. He's the forerunner, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 20 says. He is, and this is the same word, the word author is the same as the word captain here in Hebrews 2 and verse 10. The author and finisher of the faith, Hebrews 2 and verse 12. So he's the one who created this trail. He's the one that started it. And you know, John chapter 14 and verse 6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, right? The way. The word way in his day and time meant trail, what we think of as a trail. You know, today we think of a way as maybe a street or a boulevard or a freeway or something like that, right? But the word way meant what we think of as the word trail in his day and time. And so Jesus is the one who blazed the trail. Excuse me. He blazed the trail from earth to heaven. And so if we want to get to heaven, we've got to follow the same trail that Jesus walked on. And when we follow in the steps of Jesus, we will certainly do that. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And if you're walking on the Grand Canyon Trail, like you can see here, you've got to pretty much follow the steps of the person who blazed the trail. There's not a lot of room. There's no room on the left. There's just a giant rock there, and there's no room on the right. There's a giant pit. And if you don't stay on the trail, you'll be in trouble. And that's the same way with what Jesus has done for us. In 1 John 2 and verse 6, we read, He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. The word walk in the New Testament is a great metaphor that's used for following Christ and being a Christian, because walking was something that they did constantly. We don't walk nearly as much as they did in the first century. But that idea is still within our mind. We still do some walking, and so we understand it. We understand what it means to walk in the steps of someone else. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says, or we just read that, in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 tells us to follow Paul as he followed Christ. We've got to stay on that trail. And so the straight and narrow way is, first of all, the trail that Jesus blazed. But it's secondly, it is the trail that once begun must be followed. We've got to follow that trail. We've got to walk through that gate. We've got to stay out of the broad way and stay in the narrow way. Because if we want life, we're going to do what the Lord says. Well, the trail that once begun must be followed. trails are made so that others may, in fact, follow them. If you've ever done any hiking, you've hiked along a trail, that trail is there for a reason, so that you can enjoy the same things that someone else enjoyed when they made that trail. And the North Kaibab Trail is like that. It's a trail that once you start, you've got to follow. It's interesting, this particular picture, I don't know if you can see it or not. I'm going to try to put a bang up here. But here's where I'm standing right here. This is a trail. But then you can see it goes over here, and then it comes down this way, and then it comes over here, and then it goes across here. And then eventually, way down here, there's a bridge. And you see this bridge for quite a while before you actually get to it, and then it continues on the other side of this trail. You know, you've got, once you start this trail, you've got to keep following it. You know, if you want to stay on it, if you don't want to go back, you got to go where the trail goes. You don't have a lot of choice in this particular scenario, you know, to go off the trail. It's dangerous to do that. And that's the idea that Jesus is talking about here. You either take the trail or you don't go at all. It's that serious. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So we've got to put our hand to the plow, and we've got to start doing it, and we've got to keep going forward. That's the idea. We don't go back. And so Jesus expects us to follow this trail once we've begun walking on this trail. And here is Austin right here and Charlie right here walking on this trail. I know that guy kind of looks like Gavin, doesn't he? But that's actually Charlie, and that's Austin. So they were young guys back then. But that's them walking on this trail and not going back. And so, well, at least not yet. Eventually, in this scenario, we had to go back if we wanted to get back to the camp. But anyway, so faithful. We've got to be faithful to Christ, though. So the trail that we're on with Christ is a one-way trail. It's a trail from heaven to or from earth to heaven. And that's where we're going. We're going to heaven. And so we've got to stay on the trail. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So we don't draw back. We keep going forward. And faithfulness demands that we stay true to the commitment to walk on this trail that Jesus blazed. And apostasy is the only alternative. And that's very well illustrated for us in this particular picture. You can see that going off trail is very deadly. You can't go up this way at all, right? Unless you have some tremendous feats of strength, rock climbing, which we didn't, and you can't go this way. This is death and destruction down here. There's nothing down there except to fall and fall and fall some more. And so you've got to stay on this trail as you go along. Anything else is to face destruction. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, Peter talked about how the latter end would be worse than the former if we didn't stay on this trail, if we weren't faithful. And 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 talks about how Demas forsook Paul because he loved this present world. We got to stay faithful to the Lord. And so once we begin on this trail, we've got to continue to follow it. And then third, the straight and narrow way is the trail that does not change. It does not change. And there is a commitment that we've got to make. And we've talked about that. But then the trail is something that's there. It's been there for years. And it doesn't change because it gets you to where you want to go. And once you start on that trail and you're going to go, you will end up where you need to be by following that trail. And so it doesn't change. To change the trail would be to invite disaster. Good trails do not change because they bring the sojourner to their ultimate destination. There's another picture of the trail there, and you can see it right here and go away. And you can kind of see it in here and down here on that way. There's a place that you mentioned ago. But quite a trail to walk on that. And that it doesn't change. It stays the same. If I were to go back to the Grand Canyon to the north side of the Grand Canyon, take pictures, I would get pictures exactly like this, because the trail is the same and it's got to stay the same. So if we desire to be with God for eternity, we don't want to get off the trail that Jesus made. We want to stay on that trail. And our destination certainly hasn't changed. We want to be in heaven. And so to be there, we've got to follow Jesus. God does not change. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. I'm the Lord. I change not. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. We're the ones who change. We depart from where we need to be. We get into trouble. But we come back to the trail, and that's what we need to do. Always come back to the trail so that we can be where God wants us to be. And to change the path would mean to arrive at a different destination. Think about that for a minute. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, well, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 through 27, we read, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil." And that's exactly what we've got here. We can't turn to the right hand or the left. We've got to stay in the same path. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And so we've got to stay on this same trail. It is the trail that does not change, and any change is going to take us to a destination that we don't want to go. But then finally, it is the trail that brings great reward. And this particular trail, you know, we walked down it and then we had to walk back up it, which was a lot harder than walking down. And if you ever go to the Grand Canyon, just remember that it's a reverse mountain. It's easy to walk down, but then you got to walk back up to get out. And it's really hard because you've already worn yourself out walking down and now you have very little energy to walk up. So it takes time. It takes a lot of time. It took us a long time to walk back up this trail. But at the end of this trail, when we got to the bottom, we were rewarded with this beautiful spring. And you could see from the very top of the Grand Canyon, you could look down into the canyon, you could see this very tiny, tiny water splashing out way down there and creating a little, what looked like a creek from standing on the top. But then at the bottom, it was this roaring giant spring that was coming out of this giant hole in the wall. And this water was perfectly potable. And we drank from this spring that's coming straight out of the wall. And it was some of the best water that I've ever had. And it was truly refreshing. But you see, that's what awaits us at the end of the trail. At the end of the trail, there is this great blessing that is just waiting for us to enjoy and participate in. John chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." In Revelation 22 verse 17 we read, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that hears say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Jesus blazed this trail so that we could have this water of life and drink of it and then participate in eternal life with him forever. And that's what Christianity is all about. Following Jesus, staying on this straight and narrow way that Jesus made for us, so that when this life is over, that we will be with the God in heaven. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 25 says, "And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things." Now, they do it, and he's talking about those who participated in the Isthmian Games here in Greece. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But what? Why do we do it? Why do we stay on the straight and narrow way? Why do we strive for mastery in Christianity so that we can have that incorruptible crown, right? They do it to get a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible crown. And so Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And that crown of life is waiting for us if we will stay on the straight and narrow way. What a glorious reward there will be for the faithful who walk the trail that Jesus blazed. Well, the straight and narrow way is, first of all, the trail that Jesus blazed. He made this trail so that we could get to the destination that he got to, which is heaven. It is a trail that once begun must be followed. And there is no other way we're going to get to heaven unless we follow the trail that Jesus blazed. It is the trail that does not change. We can't go to the right hand or go to the left hand in order to walk on this trail. We've got to stay on the trail. And it is the trail that brings great reward, because once we end up at the end of this trail, it's going to be a tremendous blessing. Why not accept the invitation that Christ offers? The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come and take of the water of life freely. Become a child of God through hearing the word of God and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And start on this trail today. You will not regret it. Oh, yes, it is difficult. Yes, it is narrow. Yes, it is straight. But it is worth the reward. And I look back on that trail now that we walked on in the Grand Canyon and think, that was a great time. That was a wonderful time. Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was difficult. But it was so worth it. And heaven will be like that, but so much more. It will be worth it to have endured all the things that we endure here in this life on the straight and narrow way, and then be rewarded eternally. Why not become a child of God this morning? And you can do so right now while together we stand and while we sing.